What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. If you are a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new around this neck of the woods, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade and I've been helping real people feel better and move smarter whilst they get incredible results. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with amazing genetics giving you health advice online, you are definitely in the right place, because each week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet, we discuss relevant topics and we help you get clarity on such topics so you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journey. Each week I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. Later in the show we have Becky Traylan, who is an associate nutritionist at Zeta West, specializing in gut health, women's health and fertility. However, with me in the studio now is Holly James, who is a yoga teacher and a pregnancy coach with a passion for all things fitness, food and holistic health. Holly, welcome. Thank you for joining me. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Honestly, absolute pleasure. So, how was the journey in? Was it nice? Was it far?
No, I live in Crouch End, so I was working this morning with clients in Islington and then just like power walked in, which was about, half an hour.
Amazing.
Got some steps in.
No postcodes, please, because, you know, people might find you. So, let's dive straight into it, okay? You're here to educate us on pregnancy and health, mm-hmm. right? So what inspired you to become a pregnancy and health coach? And what is your kind of mission when working with expecting mothers?
So in general, I've been a personal trainer for about 11 years now. But I would say I started specialising in pre and postnatal coaching around 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago. I just started getting more pre postnatal clients and found out that I actually really enjoy training them. It wasn't actually the training itself. It was more about like the journey that they were on. Mm-hmm. So even before they got pregnant, trying to conceive, and then when they were pregnant, how they were feeling during that time. So like the emotions were obviously everywhere.
Yes.
Hormones, everything's heightened, everything's changing. Mm-hmm. They have not much control about what's going on. And I just really enjoyed being that like place for them to go to.
Safe space, that light, that support network that not everyone has, right?
Yeah, exactly that. And just knowing that every time they left the session, whether we literally just did an hour of stretch or sometimes even just a chat, but yeah, training in general mainly, they just felt better and then they would go about their day feeling a lot more positive.
Yeah, no, and I love that. And that's why I do still feel that kind of like personal training has a space in the fitness world.
Yeah.
It's a big thing on online emphasis and whatnot. And it's kind of like fashionable to have an online coach, I feel.
Yeah.
And we as a nation, I think, are definitely into fashion, fads, all of that kind of shenanigans. But mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. What you say is really nice and refreshing, because it's like these people are trying to conceive or they're having issues mm-hmm. because maybe they're heavier or whatever, something's maybe not working in their body.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's really nice. And you give them that place for them to talk and open up and be safe and also get health and fitness advice so they can potentially conceive and move forwards.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Nice. So why is it important for women to train throughout their pregnancy?
So many factors and so many reasons why. But generally, just to keep strong with all, obviously, you've got lots of changes happening. So as the bump grows bigger, you know, there's more strain on your back, your mm-hmm. lower back, your upper back, your core, your, you know, like legs, everything, pelvic floor. And when you do keep strength training up or like just movement in general, it can really help with aches and pains throughout the pregnancy, your labor, and also your birth. And keep you, I think, feeling in a better general like headspace for mm-hmm. it, so you feel generally more prepared.
Mm. Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. I think I feel that a lot of women are scared to train whilst pregnant.
So many women.
Yeah.
And even if they were training before, like so many women, like new clients as such, I didn't have them before they were pregnant and they were training, doing all this like high intensity and everything. And then when they get pregnant, they don't do anything because they're scared of getting it wrong. So they stop completely, which isn't the way to go.
No, so you've obviously mentioned why it's important, and you know, what are some of the benefits from training when pregnancy? You've mentioned that, you know, it helps with aches and pains, and mm-hmm. you're just overall stronger. Is there anything else that it benefits with? I mean, you mentioned when giving birth as well, it helps.
Yeah. I think so many different reasons, especially when you're pregnant, it can help with like, well, not getting like diabetes and preeclampsia.
Yes.
All of those kind of reasons, like proper health.
With the nasties and the things that might, you know, make things harder.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of things that do come up. So it does keep everything level. And also weight gain, obviously, as women go through each trimester, they do gain weight through the growth of the baby and
yes.
everything else. But people do tend to think, some women, like when their hormones are going crazy or they haven't slept, they're eating a lot more when you don't necessarily need to eat that much more. Mm. But again, weight gain does happen. So if you are eating more, which is totally fine, but you do need to kind of keep a close tab on it, I would say. And if you're exercising, that will help lower the extra weight gain that you
yeah.
don't need.
But there's always going to be weight gain because you're growing another human inside of...
There's always going to be weight gain.
The scales people are too obsessed with.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Do not weigh yourself. I really don't believe that because
yeah.
like clients will come and they'll be so sad because yeah. they've been on the scales. And I'm like, well, you've got a baby inside you. It's not
yeah.
going to be going down.
And food.
And
you
food.
Need to feed the baby as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
It's not the right time to be weighing yourself.
No,
for sure.
Exactly. Or taking measurements.
No.
So we're going to quickly jump back to what we were talking about a minute ago about very active women before pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
How can they maintain fitness without risking their health or the baby's health? Or is there actually a really low risk of them causing any sort of issues? Because I think that's what a lot of people's concerns are, isn't it? It's that
yeah.
they're training and they're going to hurt the baby. But like, I'm pretty sure from the small amount of knowledge I know, you have to do something pretty drastically wrong to cause damage to the actual baby.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So for women that are like very fit, train regularly, and maybe more like intense exercise, so mm. maybe like CrossFit or high intensity, you know, classes, that kind
yes.
of thing. I don't think they should just stop doing that if their bodies are very, very used to it.
Mm.
As you go through the trimesters with high intensity, I don't think that can always feel good for your body because you've got a lot of relaxin, which is a hormone going around the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, joints loosen. You don't have as much control over what can happen. So limiting that is probably more beneficial. So doing a little bit more like low intense would generally feel better.
Mm.
But say like CrossFit, you can still do that if you know your body, you know your limits, and it feels good.
Mm.
If things start to like not feel good, then like don't do it. It's just listening to your body and being in tune with what it's kind of telling you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're now going to jump back again a little bit more mm-hmm. to the trimester question.
Yeah.
Okay. So how might one adapt their workouts from each trimester? So yeah, go
okay.
with that.
Okay. So you've got the first trimester, which is between 1 and 12 weeks.
Sorry. Okay.
And with that one, nothing really tends to need to change. It's more about the like women tend to feel like well, they feel awful.
I'm pregnant. I feel tired. I feel this. I feel that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't want to train. I want to eat. I want to...
Yeah, it's like the lazy feeling. Like, you don't really want to do anything. But at that moment, you don't need to necessarily change and adapt things. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the second trimester from 13 weeks. That, again, nothing really needs to change up until about 20 weeks, I'd say.
Okay.
Then you want to probably stop doing things that you are lying at. Take away the exercise that you're kind of like in a supine position. So like lying in, so on your
front
back.
Front lying, yeah.
Yeah, lying on your back. Maybe the high intensity exercises stop. If you run, like less running, more swimming maybe.
Okay.
And with strength training, a lot of women get pelvic girdle pain.
That's because they're relaxing, right?
Yeah, yeah, throughout their pregnancy, they get pelvic girdle pain. So your pelvis is moving and expanding, mm-hmm. and one side can potentially move and shift at a different rate to the other. So they get this awful pain in their pelvis. So doing single leg exercises can bring that on and make it worse.
Okay.
So unilateral
stuff is really beneficial. Okay.
So unilateral stuff I'll take out and then do bilateral.
You do bilateral, yeah. So double leg, yeah.
Only if they've got like really bad pelvic girdle pain.
But, okay.
And then towards the end, it would be less intensity. So the last trimester, 28 weeks up until birth, less intensity, I would say. Less kind of heavy strength stuff.
Okay. So more reps.
Yes.
Lighter load, kind of just going through the motions, kind of preserve muscle tissue more than anything.
Exactly, yeah. And less kind of getting down on the floor and then getting back up and getting down on the floor. Yeah. Like try and...
Limit. Maybe closed chain exercises.
Yeah.
Machines at the gym.
Exactly. Things that you can support yourself on a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But again, everyone is so different. So one woman could train very similar from her first trimester to her third if she knows her body very well and it feels good.
Okay.
But another woman might really struggle with different symptoms. But I would say the main thing is listening to your body.
Right. Talking about listening to your body. What would one of your personal training sessions look like? I know you said it's different per person, but do you have a sort of structure?
Yeah.
I know you said at the start how sometimes it's talking, it's some mobility, it might be a little bit more intense depending on where they are in their trimester and so on and so forth. But what would a general kind of pregnancy personal training session look like with you?
Okay, so let's just say second trimester.
There you go, yeah. Second trimester, my first pregnancy.
Okay, so they would come, we would chat, see how they're feeling,
yeah.
or see how you're feeling. Let's pretend
I'm currently pregnant.
Be.
Yeah, I'm the mum to be. Yeah,
okay.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm holding the baby in the belly, as you can see.
So you're 34 weeks, maybe. we'd just check in, see how you're feeling, and then we would start with some mobility. So at that point, again, just being careful that we're not overstretching, and we would just go through full body mobility, and then we would do some like activation exercises. So from like lower body, core and upper body. So that might consist of glute bridges. Again, when you're lying, if you are in your second and third trimester, we wouldn't really be lying down on the floor. So we might be on a bench, like a supported bench.
Nothing doing prone or, like you said before, supine either.
Yeah. So it might be, single leg glute bridges or both legs. And then we would go into bird dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then some banded kind of pull aparts with a resistance band. And then we'd go into our strength component after that, which, again, wouldn't be like a circuit of lower, upper and core. Probably goblet squats to begin with, or sumo squats.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that like really helps to open the hips out, and you've got like a good stable base with those.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like a bent over row with a dumbbell, because we really want to focus on the posterior strengthening.
I remember you saying, because of the back. Okay.
Yeah, and then core exercises. People tend to shy away from core exercises when they're pregnant, but that isn't the case. Core is really important to train. But just avoiding things, again, in that supine position, so you don't want to be doing crunches, you don't want to be doing anything that's got too much pressure on the stomach. You want to be more in that prone position.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Right, we're going to only have time for one more question. Okay, so if you could give one piece of advice to every pregnant woman listening, although everyone's different, what would it be? That makes it quite hard, but kind of like, what would be the biggest one? What would the one piece of advice be you would give to people about training for pregnancy?
That is hard, but I would probably say go and move your body, even on the days that you really don't feel like it. Like some days women will come in and they're close to tears and they are really not feeling it. And I'm like, just come in and we'll just do something. And they walk out and they might have just done 10 minutes of stretching, but I'm like, it will make you feel better. If you don't have energy, movement gives you energy. So take the pressure away, take what you were doing before away, and just train for your pregnancy rather than what you were doing before.
Perfect. Right. Holly, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate you coming in. Where can people find you on social media?
So social media on Instagram, Holly James Fitness.
Perfect.
And my website is still being made. I'm not the IT technician that I should be. So, yeah, I need to,
No worries. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day. I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Right, guys, coming up after this break, I'll be speaking with nutritionist Becky Traylan about gut health, fertility. Don't go anywhere.
FUPAR Radio. Politics Uncensored.
The more alarming question is, what does this say to victims of these sorts of crimes which have been alleged on them? Essentially what they'll be looking at is two men who have a huge online influence, who say some of the most disgusting things online and spout off some of the, I think, most dangerous sort of ideas and narratives in the online space, that they've essentially been able to travel to the US while they're still under investigation in multiple countries.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more!
Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3pm where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real.
This is not real.
This is not real. I'm not playing into this.
Yeah.
You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When I've met people in the past, I'm like, oh yeah, I really love him, he's the one. But I just knew they weren't. I'd say it, but I knew I didn't mean it. But when I met you, there was a different feeling. Like, it's like your gut just tells you. When people used to say, when you know, I was like, oh, piss off. But when you know, you know.
When I met you and times got hard, I would come up with a strategy to make it better.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
Welcome back to What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Joining
Radio.
Me now is Becky
Death
Traylan,
an
associate
on FUBAR
nutritionist
Radio
from
with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
Bear
We've got
me just
Dr.
2 seconds.
Morgan.
Sorry about that, guys. So joining me now is Becky Traylan, an associate nutritionist from Zeta West, a fertility nutrition brand created over 20 years ago. Becky, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm really good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking. Thank you so much for joining us and being here today. Let's jump straight into it. Okay.
Yeah,
so, Becky, you specialize in gut health, specifically related to fertility. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that is correct.
Perfect. So why is it important to care for one's fertility health?
Yeah. So fertility, it is becoming a bit more of a topic now. And I think when we think about education, when we're young about fertility, it's very much focused on how not to get pregnant. But actually, there's not really much of a conversation, right? Right. How can we actually optimize our fertility? Which is obviously really important, especially now we are looking at, we're having children a lot later in life. Mm-hmm. So normally we'd be looking at sort of late teens, early 20s, but now actually the age in the UK anyway, for first time mum, is around 30. And actually our fertility does decline as we age. So it is a really important topic now of how can we actually optimize fertility and how can it now fit in with our lifestyle and the model of our lifestyle at the moment?
Yeah, no, and I mean, I see things all the time, trends and things that are happening. I mean, slightly off topic, but I did actually see something the other day that was like the percentage of people that are in a, that are married and that own a home now is like in their 30s is like barely like 5%, whereas before it was so much higher. So I'm assuming it's pretty similar trends to the fertility rate, whereas before it was very much like you grew up in a certain area and you met people and you were kind of in your kind of social community network and you'd fall in love and you'd have kids and it would be a lot nicer. And now it's kind of like the reach is a lot wider. So, yeah, maybe I'm assuming that's also a reason why, you know, pregnancies are later and people want to have careers and so on and so forth and want to live a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. Our lifestyle is completely different, which is just setting us up very different. Like you were saying, that people are getting married, buying houses later. So that eventually does lead to having babies later. Mm-hmm. But actually what it has meant is our biology hasn't really caught up with that. So our peak fertility is still a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And you can absolutely get pregnant later. We see that it is possible. But it's actually now thinking in both men and women. I do want to stress that early on that this is not just a women's issue. We are talking about men here as well. Mm-hmm. But how can we actually enter that factor in of, okay, I want a kid, but maybe not for another 5 years. Mm. What can I be doing during that sort of next 5 years to make sure that I am still going to be fertile and that is still going to be possible for me when I'm ready?
Yeah, well, I mean, that leads me kind of onto my first proper question about all of this, really. What are the most important nutrients for supporting fertility in both men and women?
Yeah, so if we're thinking about supporting fertility, but maybe you're not necessarily wanting to get pregnant right now, mm-hmm. one of the main nutrients we want to be looking at is antioxidants. So antioxidants, they are found in fruits. We're thinking berries, citrus fruits, vegetables, particularly dark leafy greens. So that's things like spinach, kale, nuts and seeds, whole grain, all of these foods, to be honest, that we have been heard about a lot as well for many different health outcomes, not just fertility. But we want to be getting these in because they play a really important role reducing oxidative stress in the body, which oxidative stress is really important when we think about fertility, for actually potentially aging our sperm and also egg health. So that is something that we really want to be focusing on. And then actually tied into that is the Mediterranean diet. And again, this is something that is not new to us. It's not just in the fertility space. It's all about healthy aging, cognitive decline. We talk about the Mediterranean diet. So for those who don't know, it's the diet focused on lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, getting in lots of plant-based proteins, small amount of dairy products, and reducing our consumption of processed food, red meat, free sugars, alcohol in moderation. Yeah. But there have been some incredible studies actually looking at how the Mediterranean diet can actually increase quite significantly by like 91% higher. We can see success in pregnancy rates and birth rates as well following Mediterranean diet. So that is something that we want to be thinking about.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Lots of, like, so I'm assuming fish would be in that as well, because obviously you said avoid red meats, but, you know, I'm assuming white fish or fish in general, fresh fish.
Yes, yeah, fish is really important, particularly oily fish. So we're thinking about salmon, mackerel here is really key. And generally in the UK, our diet is pretty low on oily fish. I mean, fish in general, to be honest. And then what comes in that, I said, decreasing your intake of red meat, but making sure you're getting in some really good lean proteins, whether that's from meat sources or vegetarian. The only thing I will just caveat here is the heavy metals that can be found in fish. So it is just about making sure. So generally the UK recommend 2 good quality portions per week, and just making sure they are from good sources. So for example, if you're buying salmon, getting like Scottish salmon, it's going to be really high quality.
Okay, amazing. And it leads me on to ask about how far in advance should people who are trying to conceive, or, you know, couples that are trying to conceive, how far in advance should they be making these changes to their diet and their lifestyle to help with their gut health and fertility? Obviously, I'm assuming it's not going to, I mean, I know that it's not going to happen overnight because a lot of people think it is. They think 1 week of doing something, but, you know, it might be 2-3 weeks. You tell me, you're the expert.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it is a little bit longer. So we are looking at 3 months prior to the point where you want to start thinking about conceiving. So this is because an egg takes roughly 90 days to mature, slightly less for sperm, it's 74 days. But really working within that 3-month time frame of thinking about diet, thinking about lifestyle, coming into things like alcohol, caffeine, smoking, all of these things that we want to adjust, modify to make sure that you are in the peak nutrition status for fertility. Because what we're thinking about is the DNA inside that egg and the sperm, which are going to be passed on to your offspring. That's going to be passed on. You want that to be in this good quality. And thinking specifically for female, you also want to be in the best nutritional status going into pregnancy. Because a lot of nutrients, actually, it's about the nutrients build up before you even conceived that are really important. It's not just about them, what you're eating during pregnancy. So yeah, it is unfortunately a little bit of a longer time I want to be thinking about, but it is that 3 months. And then with that, it's also taking folic acid supplements and a vitamin D. We recommend actually folate over folic acid, which is the active form. So yeah, it's all of these things, which I know can feel a little bit overwhelming and can feel like a lot, but do all play a really key role.
No, but yeah, obviously it must be overwhelming for couples that are trying to conceive. But I also think that if you put in the work and you can make the improvements, you know, it's going to pay off, right? It's what you're wanting to work towards. So, you know, and it's easy for me to say, like, I'm not in that situation right now. But could you give us a bit of an overview on what couples trying to get pregnant can do to improve their fertility? I think I know one of the things you're going to say, but I want you to take the lead with this first.
Yeah, of course. So the first thing when we're looking at is diet. So like I was saying earlier, it is that Mediterranean style diet that we want to be following. I'm really thinking about reducing our intake of processed food sugars, which again is not unheard for us. It is general healthy guidelines is what we want to be thinking about anyway. Then we want to be thinking about alcohol, ideally cutting alcohol out completely. And again, this applies to both male and female. This is not just a female issue. This is not just for a woman to look at. This is both partners should be doing this. If you are smoking, cutting out smoking completely, reducing your intake of caffeine. So generally the guidelines are 200 milligrams a day, which is roughly equivalent to a cup of coffee. We want to be thinking about lifestyle. So stress is a really big one. I know you were talking about exercise. So exercise, doing that in moderation as well, because it is intense. We've got to think, actually, conceiving a child, it is a lot of energy you're putting on your body. So making sure that you do have that energy available is really key. Something actually really specific, something that's become quite popular at the moment, actually, is like saunas and ice baths. I hate to break it to you, but I'm afraid they are not actually that great.
So we're
looking at that as well. Supplements, of course, is a really, really big one. I mentioned folic acid. Actually, we recommend the active form folate, which is much better absorbed by the body. Vitamin D are the ones that the NHS recommend, but generally I recommend a really good prenatal vitamin as well. Omega-3, we touched upon fish earlier on, which is really important. You can't get it in your diet, a supplement is a really good way to do that. And then something that's come up quite recently is these endocrine disrupting factors. So things like plastics, looking at fragrances and perfumes, makeup, thinking about actually on and so what we're cooking with, actually all of these things are disrupting our fertility as well.
Wow, okay. I didn't realise that about the whole makeup. I kind of knew about microplastics because we've had someone speak about them before and whatnot. But that's really interesting with like the whole makeup and perfumes, really.
Yeah, so it's actually looking, which again, I know it can feel really overwhelming. And it's not, I don't say to someone, sort of, you say, okay, cool, the 3 months starts now, I'm going to completely overhaul everything, because actually that leads to stress. And we also really try and avoid that. So it's about doing what you can in your means and just being aware of these things. I think it's really important. So just maybe being aware of what sort of products that you're using. And again, this doesn't just impact fertility. This is just our general wellness as well. It is impacting our hormone balance, and it's also looking at household cleaning products, thinking about pesticides on foods.
The whole thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, ideally, it is that what, and something that we really push at C2S is that holistic approach. Not just one thing is going to help. It's about doing what you can, and maybe it's not doing everything, but it's what you can from each different points, from diet, lifestyle, supplements. And actually, all of these will have a really big difference when combined together.
Okay. So, question for you. I've worked with quite a few ladies in my time that have struggled to conceive, and then, you know, 2, 3, 4 stone down, all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I need to stop coaching. I've fallen pregnant. I didn't think I could again. You know, is BMI is a terrible indicator, and the NHS need to change that? Because I'm classified as morbidly obese. I just train a lot and I'm not morbidly obese.
Yeah, while BMI is not,
you know, I might be built like a fridge, but I'm not morbidly obese.
I can confirm you're not.
But is body fat percentage a big thing stopping people, or maybe, you know, BMI, I guess we have to use that as the indicator, that's all we've got really at the moment, body fat percentage or high body fat percentages or high BMI, is that potentially an indicator to stop or make it harder for people to conceive?
Yes, it is going to be a factor if you do have a higher body fat percentage. If you are looking at BMI, I mean, I always take BMI with a pinch of salt. However, unfortunately, if you are looking at fertility treatment with the NHS, they will not treat you for IVF if you do have a BMI over 40. So unfortunately, it is something that we need to look at. But it is about being aware of what is a normal weight for you and doing it in a really safe and effective way.
Yes.
Because if you are going to be cutting calories, protein, actually, these are also really key when we're thinking about both sperm and egg maturation, so creating that sperm and egg. So it's about doing it in a healthy way. But yes, it is something that is really important to look at. And actually, really, if you're now thinking, okay, I do want to at some point to get pregnant, again, this is both partners. Actually, I think we talked about that 3 month period to work between. When we're thinking about weight loss, getting a healthy weight, I want to be looking at actually a much longer scale for that. Yeah, so you are doing it in a really
12 months. Yeah, like gradual. Yeah.
Exactly.
I always say to people, a pound a week, half a kilo a week, isn't actually that much of a deficit. Okay, it's 500 calories out of your diet, or 300 calories out of your diet and 200, 300 calories of energy expended. Okay, that's a little bit more walking. That's a little bit of exercise. That's a little bit less sitting around watching the telly, watching the box, and actually living a little bit more. And actually, pound a week is really, 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 really realistic. You do a year, it's 52 pounds. It's a lot of weight. That's life-changing amounts of weight. Like, if you struggle... But people want to do it fast. They want to do it quick. They want to do injections. They want to lose, oh, I'm only losing a kilo a week. A kilo a week is a hell of a lot of weight. That's an astronomical amount. Especially if you're light, it's a big percentage of your body. 10 kilos to some people is like over 10% of their body weight.
And I think you're completely right. People want a quick fix or something, especially with the rise at the moment with weight loss injections. We don't know what they're doing in terms of how they're impacting your fertility yet. So it is just about being really mindful and careful of what you're doing. And you're completely right. And actually, when we also look at sort of the reverse of what you're saying about people gaining weight, it's actually a really small amount of what you need to sort of overeat, if you will, each day or each week for it to have then a significant impact on your weight. So working backwards, actually, it is just about making those small changes, following that Mediterranean diet as well, which is going to be really beneficial.
Yeah.
And exercise, we know that for weight loss, we want to be focusing on diet, but actually exercise alongside is really key for then maintaining that weight loss. So yeah, they both come hand in hand, and yeah, it's not a radical change overnight. It's just about doing what you can.
Yeah, totally agree. Final question, and I am going to ask you about Zeta West. If you could give me one piece of advice to anyone that's hoping to start or grow their family, what would it be? Just one singular piece of advice. Makes it really, really hard, doesn't it? Because you're like, but this, I've mentioned the Mediterranean diet, and I mentioned that. But if you could literally just say one thing.
Gosh, one thing.
If there is anything that is clearly the most leading piece that's been researched, you know, the pièce de résistance, that one thing.
I think it has to be that folic acid supplement, ideally in the form folate. Okay. For again, both partners, that is what you want to be looking at.
Okay, amazing. That's great. Now, tell us in 60 seconds, tell us about Zeta West. Tell me, summarize exactly, you know, what you guys do and what makes you guys different, or your mission, you know, please.
Yeah, so Zeta West is a fertility and pregnancy brand focused on vitamin mineral supplements for both men and women. And actually what is really unique about Zeta West and why it is so effective is actually it was formulated alongside real use cases in clinic. So we actually can see the impact of the fertility supplements. It's not sort of just picked at random in labs. Actually, we were working with real couples, real individuals, and seeing the results of increasing their fertility and birth rates as well. And all of the products are researched according to the latest research. We are always updating the products when new research is coming along, producing sort of new supplements when we know that there's some really key nutrients. And our founder, Zeta West, is also one of the leading fertility experts in the UK as well, so we have amazing advice and steerance from her as well.
Amazing. That is a great summary. This has been a really, really insightful chat. And Becky, I just want to thank you so much for your time. Where can people learn more? Can they follow you online? Do you have a website? Obviously you have social media. Let us know, please.
Yes, so we have the website online at zetawest.com and our Instagram as well, Zeta West. One thing we do offer, which if you are listening to this chat and you go thinking, God, Becky, you've just thrown so much information at me, this is so overwhelming. We actually do offer free one-to-one consultations with myself. And then we also have another amazing nutritionist, Isabel, who has been working in the fertility space for many years. So it's not a chat about pushing the supplements down your throat. It's not a sales chat at all. It's actually just a really helpful chat that you can break down exactly where you are now, understand a little bit more about what you need to do next to help you on your way. So I'd really recommend looking at that. You can book either via Instagram or our website as well.
Amazing. And where can people find you personally?
So I'm also on Instagram, Healthy Gut Kitchen.
Perfect. Becky, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so much. Bye. Becky,
take care. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after this, I'll be answering some listener questions and breaking down some viral health TikToks.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
So we've got Dr. Matt Morgan. Someone's heart stopped beating for 8 hours.
So he was stuck on a ledge in a freezing snowstorm. Mm. And his heart stopped for an amazing 9 hours. He's still the world's longest surviving cardiac arrest patient. And he lived because he was cold. You know, there's a saying, you're not dead until you're warm and dead.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and yeah, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, yeah, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I wanna find happiness and I need him to be kind.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Georges Bertineau.
Hello and welcome back to What the Health with me, Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio. Right, we're going to dive into some burning questions. If you want to get involved, you can DM us at What the Health Show on Instagram. We are going to start with something a little bit different today, and we're going to look at some viral TikTok. So, I have healthy girl habits here. We've got number one, so I'm going to kind of rate them out of 10. So we're going to start with eating more whole foods. I think you can't go wrong with more whole foods. We're going to give that an 8 out of 10. No phone for the first hour of the day. I'm going to be honest with you, it's really hard. I've actually tried doing it, but I do know that the benefits are absolutely huge. 9 out of 10. TJ, who was previously on the show, would also agree it was one of his biggest suggestions for us. Next, lemon water upon waking. 0. Does nothing, pointless. But if you like lemon water, go for it. Saying no without guilt. I mean, 10? Definitely 10. Just, it's okay to say no. We live in a world where people are so embarrassed to say no. Don't be a people pleaser. Be you. Do what you want to do. Be happy with it. 2 liters of water. This is going to be really controversial. I'm actually going to say 1 because 2 liters is not enough water. You should be drinking at least 3, if not 4. Sounds crazy, but we are made up of a lot of water. Listening to uplifting podcasts. Personally, 10. Absolute game changer. I went on a walk recently and I trudged. I literally walked with intent and purpose for an hour listening to a podcast, motivational stuff. It was incredible. Such things like What the Health. That is super uplifting. So guys, make sure you listen in the future and listen to all previous shows. Daily yoga. I'm big and agile. And I do think yoga has definitely a space in everybody's life. Once, twice a week, yes. Daily, poor. Not too sure. We're going to give that a 6. We also have being present. Well, I mean, not everyone's capable of being present. Some people do struggle to actually be present in a room. So I don't think we should put too much pressure on ourselves with this one. I'm going to give it a 5. Box breathing. Oh, you know what? I think this is great for kind of calming yourself if you're a little bit anxious. We're going to give it an 8. Creativity dates, 10 out of 10. Hats off to anyone who can be creative on a date. Arts and crafts, going places, doing doing things that are creative is super important and also keeps a relationship alive and super healthy because you're always chasing each other and looking to have fun and enjoy each other. And walking more, you cannot beat walking more unless you already walk lots, okay? There is actually a very big dip off and correlation with anything more than about 8,000 or 10,000 steps, there's a huge point where it's just like, no, it doesn't really do anything else. Doesn't really do much. You don't really get much more benefits apart from you just walking. So if you don't walk very much, 10. If you walk 8,000 to 10,000 steps, 1. Like, doesn't really serve a purpose in my eyes. Right, guys, question time. So first up, we've got a question from Carla. I'm looking at the calorie content of everything to try and cut down on my calories. Every recipe I'm seeing that is healthy has higher calorie content and protein too. I'm confused about what I should be trying to track. The two most important things you should be tracking are your calories that you consume and your macronutrient of protein, okay? Protein is the most amazing macronutrient there is. It helps you, you get thermic effects of protein. So basically, if you ate 100 calories of protein, your body would burn anywhere between 20 and 30%. So 20 or 30 calories of that protein is going to be used for energy. So you've actually only eaten technically 70 or 80 calories of protein. So protein, Carla, is your most important, okay? And also your calories. You can get away with having higher calories if your protein is the highest and more than 2 grams, 2.2 grams per kilo of body weight for men and women. But yeah, that's probably my biggest advice. I would say if you're struggling with calorie content or how to track, MyFitnessPal, there are some AI apps out there. I use an app called Carbon. My coaching app has a built-in tracking system as well. Lots of apps out there. You know, you pick and choose whichever one you want. But long and short, I would highly recommend scanning barcodes, measuring and weighing your food, and looking at your calorie consumption more than anything. If you struggle with it daily, look at it as a week. But understand, if you have 10,000 calories to consume and you're on Thursday and you've eaten 9,000, technically, you will put on weight because you've only got 1,000 calories left over however many days. Okay? Next question. There's so much conflicting advice online. How can I tell what workouts or diets are actually good for me? Well, first of all, this is a really good question. Okay? Now, everything works as long as you stick to it. The majority of people I talk to, meet, or converse with about health and fitness goals, whatever they're trying to do, whatever they're trying to achieve, the most common thing is excuses, and the other most common thing is not sticking to it long enough. It doesn't really technically need to be a diet. It needs to be a lifestyle change. So think about it as a big picture. If you're dieting, that means you're going to do about 12 to maybe 16 weeks and you're going to all of a sudden go, right, I'm going to go back to the old me. Old habits, old me. Let's go and eat lots of cheese and takeaways and drink more wine and do this. And you end up being some medieval king and you're feasting every time you go to war and you're like, wow, what's happened? So don't make it a diet. Make it a lifestyle change. So think about it. If I walk a little bit more, like I said earlier, that 8,000, 10,000 calorie set is perfect. So, you know, just think about it. It's the food that you consume. It's, you know, it's what works for you at the end of the day, and you have to find that kind of happy medium, because then at least you're getting balance, okay? And the workout side of things, I mean, the science has actually proved that weight training is the most beneficial thing for you. Obviously, if you want to run, you want to do cross training, you want to bike, that's also great for cardiovascular health. But longevity of life has been improved by strength training. So we've actually got another healthy girl's habit just come through. So we are going to have a little look at this. So I'm going to rate them out of 10 again. So morning lemon water with chia seeds. I mean, I said no to the lemon water before. I'm pretty sure I said 0 or 1. We're going to give it a 1 this time because it has chia seeds in it, I think. 7+ hours of sleep. This is a 10. Sleep
is equally as important as your food and your exercise. Technically, sleep and food are the most important. 80% nutrition, 20% exercise, maybe 70-30, depends on your genetics and whatnot. But long and short, sleep is a 10, and we love 10 out of 10s. Okay, meditation upon waking, depending on how you are as a person, if you are anxious, if you struggle with staying focused or whatnot, this can actually be super beneficial. I used to do this back when I was studying, just to not calm myself, but help me kind of get focused on my day instead of getting up and doing God knows what as a student. I would focus on doing some meditation. So yeah, I would actually say this is probably an 8 out of 10 for me. Limiting snacks and opting for a full meal. I mean, everyone likes a little snack from time to time. So I just think, no. I think, yes, don't get me wrong, full meals, perfect. Have 3 a day. But hang on, if you go and have 500 calories 3 times, it's only 1,500 calories. So for me, I'm allowed another 1,000 calories. So if I want to have a protein shake, or I want to have some popcorn or some rice cakes, yes, rice cakes are nice. Let's not pretend they're not. If I want to have some fruit, you know, whatever it is. So no, 2, not just full meals. Snacks are important. They keep you sane. They keep you happy. You know, if you have 20% of your week's intake from snacks and you actually get enjoyable snacks and you enjoy what you're eating, then fantastic. You know, knock your boots off. Have a great time with it. Walking 30 minutes every day, at least, yeah, 8 out of 10. It's not a 10 because, you know, I would probably say 45, 60 minutes, you'd probably get anywhere between 4 and 5K, which is anywhere between 5 and probably 7,000 steps. So yeah, 30 minutes, 8, okay? Positive self-talk, 10 out of 10. Affirmations, stop speaking to yourself negatively, okay? It does not benefit you whatsoever. Reading for 15 minutes. Wow, this is probably something I should definitely do. We're going to say reading for 15 minutes daily. Educational stuff, calming stuff. Yeah, I think this definitely has a purpose. 8 out of 10. We've already done the no social media for first hour. I'm pretty sure I said that was like a 9 or a 10. Yoga and breath work. We've already said yoga and breath work is pretty much up there. And focusing on one task at a time. Yeah, I think that is a really good one. So I use something called Notion, and I basically make a task board. It's like my diary, but I just write down tasks. I put dates on it, and I tick them off. And I think that we are all super guilty of kind of juggling way too much. Like, I've got 8 things on my desk. Just pick one, either the quickest one or the longest one, because either way, you know, if you do the longest one, then you know you don't have to do that long one again. If you pick the short one, you know you've got the long ones coming. So up to you. But yeah, I would say that's got to be a 10, you know, picking tasks. We're going to go back to some final questions. So what is your biggest piece of advice for someone who's looking to lose weight, be healthier, and work on my lifestyle? Pick one thing. Funnily enough, pick one task. Pick one thing to execute and just do it. So let's start with increasing your water. You might pee like a racehorse for maybe the first week or two, but all of a sudden, it will be natural. Buy a fancy water bottle. Look, put your name on it. Make it your favorite color. God knows what. Whatever you prefer, what you feel is going to work for you, increase your water. Minimum 3 liters a day. Okay? Add electrolytes into that in your morning. Start with a black coffee. If you find that you eat too much food, why don't you try with no meal until 12 o'clock? Because technically, it's fasting, but technically, you're just reducing your calorie window and the time that you actually get to eat, you know. Walk a little bit more and 3 full body sessions a week. Right, guys, that is completely us done for today. A massive thank you to Holly, Becky, who joined us today. Very insightful, super knowledgeable guests. And just thank you so much for joining us. A reminder, you can download the app and listen each week. You can follow us on social media at What The Health Show on Instagram. If you're wanting any help with your health and fitness journeys, I do provide a top tier, no BS coaching service, which does separate me from the rest because it's real support, it's handholding, and it's real achievable goals. You can reach out to me at Georges Burt on Instagram. This is a massive thank you from me. And as always, goodbye. I will be back at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show next week. I'm Georges. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Love you. Bye.